Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. Oh folks, it's hot in the world today. I don't mean weather-wise, I'm talking about hot politically and hot prophetically. All the nations of Bible prophecy are in the nations that will be active at the end of days. What's translated in the King James, the latter days, is the end of days. And all of those nations are very active today. I am recording this on the 8th of February, and you will get this on the 9th. This is on a Wednesday. You'll get it on the following Monday. There's no telling really what may have happened by the time that this gets to you, but we're going to look at these nations in Bible prophecy, and we're going to look at them in the headlines. Now, I'm going to begin to read to you a series of articles today. We will get to the Bible. I don't know if we'll get to it today, but we will definitely get to it tomorrow. This is dated February 4th from Devkafile. That's Debkafile. If you want to use that as one of your sources to learn information on what's going on in the Middle East. Headlines. Russia vetoes motion after preparing special forces for Syria. The West and Russia had a major showdown Saturday, February 5th, over the Arab League resolution calling on Bashar Assad to step down and allow the formation of a national unity government. U.S. President Obama demanded a UN stand against the Syrian president's relentless brutality and a vote before the end of the day. It was put to the vote and defeated by Russia and China, who vetoed it. So President Obama had asked the Security Council of the UN, and for all of its effectiveness, you might as well call it the United Nothing, but he was asking for them to demand that Assad stop slaughtering his people. Now, I want to give you a little background on Assad. We're going to be definitely watching Syria, and we'll tell you why, because the Bible in Isaiah 17:1 predicts the destruction of Damascus. It says that it shall be a ruinous heap. It has never happened before in history. So we're going to watch it very closely, and it's in the headlines. As to Bashar Assad, here's a little bit of the background on him. His father was Hafez Assad. He was an Alawite by religion. It's a very small part of Islam. He has ruled more than 30 years with an iron hand, Syria. In 1982, there was an uprising of the Sunnis against Hafez Assad. He slaughtered 10 to 30,000 of them. 10 to 30,000 Muslims he slaughtered of the Sunnis. Now remember, he is not Shia, he is Alawite, but he is not Sunni, and the Sunnis were contesting him. Remember, as we look into all of this, that Saudi Arabia is Sunni. While he was still alive, Hafez Assad groomed his son Bashar Assad. He is the present-day ruler who, like his father, is and has been for about 11 months slaughtering his own people to put down an uprising. There was a time when no one said anything about an uprising of the people, but lately the nations are noticing the uprisings. He was grooming and did groom Bashar Assad, and while he was grooming him, he took out all opposition to Bashar from Assad's own government. In other words, while the father was still head over Syria, he took out anyone who would oppose his placing his son in his place. One top government member, while this was going on, committed suicide. These things have happened in the past, and they are repeating now under Bashar. So it is Bashar Assad, the son, that Obama was asking the Security Council to come against him and stand against him for his relentless brutality. Now, the big thing here is that Russia sided with Syria and China sided with Syria and vetoed the proposition. This is from DEFCA file, February 4th, 2012. Americans talk about as an Israeli strike on Iran, but prepare their own offensive. U.S. Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta has been outspoken about a possible Israeli offensive against Iran taking place from April, I think he marked out April, May, and June as times that this might happen. Now, that was the United States Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta on February 4th. Tehran, you remember, is the capital of Iran. Tehran, too, is gearing up for conflict. The Iranian Guards, Chief Brigadier General, announced the start of a three-week exercise in southern Iran and the Strait of Hormuz under conditions of war. The exercise is, in fact, an Iranian military buildup ahead of a possible American or Israeli attack. DEFCA's files military sources report a steady flow of many thousands of U.S. troops for some 2 weeks to strategic islands within reach of Iran. So now we know that there's a buildup in the area of Iran. There's a buildup with Tehran, Iran, and there's a buildup of U.S. forces. And on the 4th of February, Leon Panetta said that the United States was not against helping. In this same article on February 4th, it states, there are now two potential triggers for a Middle East confrontation with Iran. They are closely interrelated. Number one, the urgent need for action this year to preempt Iran's nuclear bomb program before it is too late. And number two, the Syrian army's appalling and escalating butchery of civilians. So he says, this article says, and this is, DEFCA files like a little spy group, you know. I mean, they give you information that would be like, intelligence. So, number one, the urgent need to preempt Iran's nuclear bomb program before it's too late. And number two, the Syrian army's butchery of civilians. Our military sources report that the Saudis this week wound up their own intensive preparations for war. Remember that the Saudis are Sunni, and remember that the Saudis were slaughtered by Bashar Assad's father, Hafez Assad. So the Saudis are antagonistic against Bashar Assad. Saudi Arabia, this week, wound up their own intensive preparations for war. Large forces are now deployed around Saudi oil fields, pipelines, and export facilities. Military intelligence chief Avivi Kochavi disclosed that 200,000 missiles and rockets, including thousands of long-range projectiles, are currently pointed at Israel, the only country in the world facing a threat on this scale. Of course, Iran says they can reach the United States, but there is no other country that they have 200,000 missiles and rockets and long-range projectiles aimed at. And so you can see that President Obama and the United States are in a predicament here, as well as Israel. Something must be done, but the something would be a terrible thing. I don't mean terrible in that it shouldn't be done, but I mean horrific. Our sources stress, says DEFCA, that these military preparations are for real and are taken very seriously by all the governments concerned, because Tehran is far from being intimidated by threats. Their holy leader, Khamenei, confirmed authoritatively Friday what other Iranian officials have consistently maintained, that Tehran will not give up its nuclear plans, no matter how much pressure is brought to bear. Iran had its chance to cool some of the pressure by opening up to a team of International Atomic Energy Agency, that's the IAEA, inspectors who visited Iran last week. But Iran chose not to allow them in. In their three-day stay, the inspectors were denied access to any Iranian nuclear facility. As the Ayatollahs witnessed the vast U.S., Saudi, Israel, British, French, and Arab Gulf War preparations around their borders, will they opt to watch and wait for the sword to fall? Or will they try and get in first with a hammer blow against Israel? A course Khamenei hinted at broadly in his latest speech. Are Washington and Jerusalem in alignment, or at least in tacit accord, on who goes first? And so that was in an article that was dated February 4th when Leon Panetta was saying that we were going to side with Israel. On February 6th, 2 days later, our State Department pulled its embassy staff from Syria. This was followed by the UK. So our embassies are out of Syria. Now, then we have something on February 6th where Obama sort of contradicts the Secretary of Defense, Leon Panetta's statement 6 days earlier when he said, in Israel, no knowledgeable source any longer doubts. He said, Obama said, that he doesn't think Israel has made a decision on whether to attack Iran. But the Devka File article I'm reading says that in Israel, no knowledgeable source any longer doubts that the Netanyahu government has already reached a decision. And so they have also, then Tehran came out and said this. They suggested that for the first time they would not wait to be attacked, but were preparing a preemptive action of its own against Israel. The paper spoke of a surprise missile offensive targeting Israel's military confrontations. Two features stood out in the verbiage of the last 24 hours. Number one, Iran has no intention whatsoever of abandoning its drive for a nuclear bomb. And according to information in Israel's hands, its program has passed the point of no return. And number two, the U.S.-led confrontation to remove Bashar Assad, they have spoken about it, and then they've kind of backed off about it. So we're going to get back to this tomorrow, and we'll go to what the Bible says about all this action in the Middle East. This is Billy Brim, Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. You can contact us at billybrim.org. We love your listening to us. Shalom, shalom.